Has anyone here ever visited Charleston, South Carolina?
Charleston.
Wish I could say it like our guide said it that day, Charleston. Real nice, deep and resonant Charleston. Well, while traveling in the South this summer, Pastor Mark and Lisa Wimmer visited Charleston and they had a very interesting experience that I've asked them to share with us today.
The evil of racism was revealed in all of its horror with the murder of 9 people at Mother Emanuel AME Zion Church in Charleston. The innocents, all of whom were African American, were attending a weekly Bible study when gunned down by a stranger whom they had welcomed into their midst earlier that evening. Found shortly after the deaths, the racial hatred espoused by the alleged shooter was seen in postings on social media. The crime was made even more painful, knowing both pastors killed were graduates of programs at the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, and that the alleged killer himself was a member of a Lutheran congregation. Racism is passed from one generation to the next. We teach it to our children. Racism is a learned behavior. So too is forgiveness and acceptance. Today, we remember the 9. Reverend Clementa Pinckney, Cynthia Hurd, Myra Thompson, Ethel Lance, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, Reverend Daniel Simmons, the Reverend Dr. DePayne Middleton, Taiwanza Sanders, and Susie Jackson.
Lisa and I recently had the opportunity to visit Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston. The front of the church was bedecked with flowers and candles and small gifts, and on especially provided posters, the signatures of hundreds and hundreds of people who have visited the site as a physical sign of their support and their grief. And to those posters, our names were added. We had a chance to speak briefly with a member of the church as he crossed the parking lot. We asked if we might be able to enter the sanctuary, perhaps to offer prayer. He said that he'd like to oblige, but that he was just leaving and that the building was locked. However, we would be most welcome to attend the weekly Bible study that evening at 6:30. Lisa and I thanked the gentleman, realizing at that moment that the 6:30 Bible study was the same one to which the deadly stranger had also been welcomed. The ministry of Jesus Christ through Mother Emanuel Church will not be stopped by the murder of 9 of their own, nor by the horror of racism. The ministry of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. Neither can our oneness in Christ. Racism is learned, but so too are forgiveness and acceptance.
Racism. Nobody likes to hear that word. It's uncomfortable to talk about, as well as to look for evidence of it in our own lives. And yet this occasion calls us to honesty about our attitudes, about African American people, Native American people, Asian people, Latino people, and others who are not Anglo-American. None of us is going to burn a cross on someone's lawn, at least I hope we're not. but often we still find humor in race. Or we may be afraid of persons of color or where they live. Or some may even refuse personal care from a person of a race other than white. Racism hurts others, and it's still alive and well within our beings. Kenneth Wheeler, an African-American writer, tells this story in the blog Living Lutheran. Lively engagement in faith and life. A fellow from the cable company came to connect the Wheelers to a particular cable provider. He finished the job, came up from the basement, spied on Wheeler's wall a portrait of President Obama and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. together. The man announced, "The only reason that I watched the inauguration was to see if someone would assassinate him." That's racism, and it hurts. Wheeler observed, "That young white service worker in our home thought that he could say what he did and get away with it because he grew up in that kind of culture. And he believed wrongly, of course, that there was no objection I could make that he had to hear or honor or that anyone would believe. The solution to the racial dilemma in America has generally been one-sided, as if black people are the problem. White supremacy is the problem. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that disease that has infected the body politic and the body of the church. Let's talk about how we get real about this and then commit to seriously eradicating this epidemic, which is just as deadly as Ebola. Racism does not blend with Christianity in any way, shape, or form. Jesus would have none of it. When Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one," he prayed for color blindness, or better, that we may be God's people, a seamless garment of many colors. Jesus prayed that brown hands and white hands would clasp in friendship, not conflict. Jesus prayed that the color of our skin would not separate us, but would rather deepen a life together in love. So why are we still talking about racism? Sin, I suppose. Putting others down causes us to feel better about ourselves. Laughing at others averts us from looking at our own shortcomings. Are we inherently afraid of those who are different from us? I don't think children are. You watch children. Watch children who are very young. There's no fear in them. They're just play buddies. Children are colorblind and learn fear and mistrust from adults. Racism is indeed a learned behavior, as Pastor Wimmer said. So can it be unlearned? Well, with the Lord's help, there's always hope. There are unlearning racism and understanding privilege workshops, which I'm sure can help. It seems to me that we must first understand and admit that there is a problem before we can address it. And then take that to the Lord. And be open in confession and repentance, seeking and listening for God's forgiveness. Forgiveness which is deeper than those members of the AME Church in Charleston who forgave the attacker, who offered a gift that the shooter didn't deserve, but who also don't want to be burdened with the evil that unforgiveness creates in their hearts. Let us be alert to our own behavior, our own attitude, our own relationships with others. It seems to me that Christians see everyone as neighbor, regardless of color. Christians seek to be Samaritans, caring for the neighbor regardless of who they are. Christians see the bigger picture of justice for all, not excusing behaviors that erode justice or ignore kindness or walk blissfully away from God's will and God's ways. Christians see no distinctions and acknowledge the teaching of St. Paul. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world, and so should we. Come now to the altar, please, one and all, to be blessed by Jesus' wondrous love. As we are open to him, so let us be open to all God's people as neighbor, as sister, as brother. In Christ, there is no distinction, no east or west, but one community of love. Amen.